For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The great James Brown.
Yeah, man.
We got a good Twitter guy named James Brown, please. Hashtag, oh, I'm sorry, Octothorpe beat Virginia.
I love that we've stumbled upon the term Octothorpe.
I'm rolling with that now.
But I'm nervous it's going to stick around a little bit too long. And maybe that's not a bad thing. I don't know.
Maybe we were the only two that didn't know what that was. I don't know. Anyway, time to bring in our man Brandon Adams, the host every Monday through Friday, noon to one of Dog Nation Daily. Hey, Brandon, how are you today?
I'm doing well, Dave. Thanks for having me on the show.
Oh, man, it's always great. We love Wednesdays at 8:05 when we get to talk to you. Although the news of Devontae Wyatt, we don't know any of the details yet, so it's not really fair to speculate, and actually it would be kind of reckless. So until we get more details on that, you know, all we know is what we know. But, you know, this was a guy, though, who I'll say this, when I was kind of looking at his stats this morning, and I didn't realize that he led the interior lineman with 30 tackles last year and started in the Sugar Bowl. So he had picked up his game for sure.
Yeah, Devontae Wyatt's a good player. I mean, I feel like the Georgia defensive line overall was much better in 2019 than it was in 2018. I think that, you know, Wyatt's play was kind of a part of that. And I'm like you. You know, I can't speak to this specific situation all that well, but the one thing I can say on behalf of a lot of fans is this is that time of year, kind of pre-spring practice that gets going March 17th. And then there's that lull in the summertime before the actual practice begins at the end of July, where just sort of hold your breath, right? I mean, you got 85 guys on scholarship. You can't be watching them all 24 hours a day. And, you know, we don't know. I don't really even know a ton about the allegations against Wyatt here one way or another. But I, as I said before, on behalf of the fans, there's always just that kind of attention, anxiety about, hey, can we just kind of get through this lull in the new cycle and get to the start of spring practice? And, you know, you sort of wake up hoping not to see any kind of, like, bad news with anybody or anything like that. So I obviously wish Wyatt the best in the situation. I hope to hear, you know, something good on this. But it's just part of the job of, you know, dealing with 85 young men. You're going to have, every now and then, you're going to have, you know, something that kind of goes astray, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. Brandon Adams, the host of Dog Nation Daily, is joining us as we're getting closer and closer to spring practice.
B.A., and we are getting closer to spring practice. In fact, I think today South Carolina is conducting their first practice, which seems way too early. But which is, but hey, it's football. We're excited the SEC football's back. But that's a little too early, right, B.A.?
It seems a little early for spring practice, but I'll also allow it as well.
There you go.
I know that Will Muschamp did a press conference, I guess, on Monday or so. Mm-hmm. And I was like, hey, it kind of feels like we're kind of back into a little bit of a football calendar.
Exactly.
Early, I'll take it nonetheless.
No doubt about it. I'm not sure when Florida is going to start their spring practice, but they've got a new tight ends coach, B.A., and that certain tight ends coach's name's escaping right now. Tim Brewster, I guess, speaking this week, has kind of put his foot in the ground and said, hey, Kirby Smart needs to stay out of Florida. We're going to build a fence. And, B.A., all I could envision when I read that was you rolling over in your living room with it, grabbing your stomach laughing, because these guys have not exactly had the success that they think they're having right now.
No, and, you know, Brewster's one of those guys you bring in, and, you know, he has done this kind of stuff before. He's a former head coach in Minnesota, a guy most recently at North Carolina, but also been with Jimbo Fisher, Texas A&M, and he's had a lot of bluster before that's gotten attention on the recruiting trail. I'll invite you to check out the kind of a little bit of the riff he had with Jalen Ramsey a couple of years ago involving some recruiting, boasting and bragging and things along those lines. So this is a guy kind of hired to provide this to Florida, because Florida frankly didn't have a lot of, a lot of bass in his voice in the recruiting trail prior to this. That's just not really Mullen's strength, nor I believe was that the strength of the people that he hired. Now ultimately, you know, Bruce is kind of, you know, sort of a noisy out. You know, he's one of those guys that makes a lot of noise but doesn't necessarily produce anything. I think this kind of stuff is fun. You know, I want Georgia's rivals talking about UGA. I want them, you know, boasting and bragging about what they're going to do, because that's what the SEC is all about, right? I mean, this is this is kind of a league where, you know, we do kind of go back and forth with each other. And so I got no problem with Brewster saying what he said. I think actually achieving the goal of convincing, you know, top Florida talent to ignore Georgia is going to be a lot harder to do than it is to talk about doing. We certainly saw that in the 2020 recruiting cycle. But ultimately, you know, Brewster doing this kind of stuff is sort of what the SEC is all about. Frankly, I think it's kind of weird that it took this long for Florida to sort of start to step up and assert itself in recruiting to the extent these words kind of count for that, as opposed to the sort of passive way that Mullen has kind of gone about his business since he took that job.
I know you're way too humble of a man to admit it, but now that I recall, about a week ago, I think you did call this on Talk Nation Daily that Tim Brewster was going to be one of these loud outs, as you call it, and now we're seeing that a week later. Good deal. All right, BA, on Monday, I'll just preface with this. I took a nap, and when I woke up, my phone was blown up with what I consider the most jaw-dropping news of this offseason. That's taking into account the Munkin hire, the Jamie Newman, or even the offensive line situation with Matt Luke coming into Athens. But you wrote a pretty good column up at DogNation.com about this Scott Cochran hire from Alabama may be the biggest move of Kirby Smart's career so far.
Yeah, I mean, I think that one of the things that you love about Kirby is there's an audacity to the way that he goes about his business, you know, sort of dreaming big and making sort of bold moves that maybe previous generations of Georgia just wouldn't really would have thought was possible. And ultimately, I don't really know what Cochran's impact on Georgia is going to be. I think that remains to be seen. But I do have a pretty good idea of what his absence is going to mean for Alabama, and I do think it's going to be significant. Now, ultimately, do I think that Cochran's a good fit at Georgia? I guess I probably do. I think a lot of what I think about him probably translates well to a special teams coach kind of role. I can see him fitting in well there. It's easy to imagine him being a good recruiter. But this is also kind of an addition by subtraction from what you take away from Alabama, as plenty of other people have kind of also pointed out as well. And I think what it just shows is, and this is kind of what I tried to write about, is that with Georgia playing at this level, Alabama in a much smaller state with much less resources, building up dynastic programs the way that Bear Bryant once did, the way that Nick Saban once did, that's just not going to be nearly as easy, and I would dare say impossible in the future, because you know, Georgia is a bigger state with richer alumni. And all of a sudden now, the kind of coach who's willing to marshal those resources all in one direction. I'm not going to, you know, oversell this to your audience and say that Scott Cochran's going to be the difference in the national championship. But as you said, a Cochran move coming on the heels of so many of these other things that Georgia has done, I think is another reminder of the level that Kirby Smart is going to play at. And you've obviously got to translate this into wins on the field, and I get all of that. But for every big series of wins that happen on the field, there are going to be big off-season moves, off-field moves, that kind of serve as the precursor or the harbinger for all of that. And I think the recruiting stuff, the revenue that's been generated by Georgia, the money raised by donors, the aggressive coaching hires, Cochran now included, I think all of this is the kind of thing that UGA fans ought to be really proud to see their program doing. And once again, the kind of barbs back and forth, war of words between the Georgia fans and the Alabama fans ahead of that matchup in September, that's also fun as well. I mean, this is ultimately an entertainment product. And even though I think that Georgia might have been well served at looking at a different kind of coach for its 10th assistant position, there's no denying this is the most entertaining choice that Georgia could have made. And therefore, as the folks like to say, I've kind of got my popcorn out, and I'm enjoying all of this right now.
I know. I mean, that's the thing. It's like, just when we think things might have died down a little bit, here we go again with Georgia and Bama. We'll see how it works out. I like the outside the box thinking. I did hear you saying on Dog Nation Daily though that the one thing is the strength and conditioning coach has more access to the players because they're around them more. So it does take that away a little bit. But at the same time, when you're the special teams coach, you're dipping into basically every player, whether it's the receivers, the DBs, the linemen that you've got to use. So he's still going to be in close contact with the entire team. So there's that aspect of it as well.
Yeah, one way or another, his impact at Georgia is going to be different than it was at Alabama because of the way the NCAA rules work. But I kind of appreciate the idea of a Cochran who's done as much as you can as a strength and conditioning coordinator. I mean, it'd be hard to be more famous as a strength coach than he's proven to be. I understand wanting to do the next thing with your career, take that next step. And I said this yesterday, the idea that that's a total non-starter for Saban, that he's not even willing to consider the notion that someone who's been as sort of loyal deputy as Cochran's been to him, the idea that Saban puts it out there publicly that he had no interest in any kind of professional development, advancement in his career for Cochran, to me, that tells you everything you need to know about Nick Saban. He's obviously a great coach. I'm not sure he's a good person, though. And once he's toppled as the top coach in college football, not only that will that be good for UGA, I think it may be good for the sport, because I don't think that's the example that other coaches should follow. I think you want to be like what Kirby Smart has been. When a guy like Sam Pittman has a chance to be a head coach, you celebrate that fact. When Mel Tucker has a chance to be a head coach, you celebrate that fact. You sort of help people to that next level. You promote from within when possible. Kirby Smart's done a pretty good job of that with Dan Lanning. The James Coley thing may not have worked out all that well, but you're not going to bat 1,000 on anything. The idea that Saban looks at Cochran and says that his sole mission in life should be to help Nick Saban achieve his hopes and dreams, that's all you need to know about Nick Saban.
Talking with Brandon Adams, the host of Dog Nation Daily. I just wonder, too, I mean, there's no way of knowing if this had come up before where he, like, had a chance or had told Coach Saban that, hey, I'd like to be a position coach. You know, is that something you can, you know, that maybe we can work out? Because, look, Bama has plenty of coaches coming and going, so I just wonder if that was a situation where it had come up, it didn't look like it was going to work, and Coach Saban didn't want to do it, and next thing you know, he's leaving to go to Athens.
Well, if you can Google this, a couple of weeks before this went down with Georgia, there was a rumor that Lane Kiffin was going to hire Cochran in an on-field coaching role as well. So I didn't make much of that at the time. I just thought that was Kiffin trying to troll Saban. We've obviously seen him do that a little bit. When that news came up, I may have briefly mentioned it on the show. I may not have mentioned it at all, because it was just one of those things that kind of appeared and then sort of disappeared right away. So this is at least enough of an ongoing, I guess, issue with Cochran that Kirby was apparently not the only coach that considered doing this. You'll also remember that Kirby initially tried to hire Cochran when he first took the job at Georgia, or at least there were overtures that might go down. They're good friends, of course. And then at the time, Cochran ends up getting a big raise. I think he was making $600,000. But there are head coaches in FBS that make less money than that. So he was making, you know, gigantic salary number for a strength and conditioning coach anyway. So financially, it may not have made much sense for him to you know, leave for a position like this up until now, where maybe he's just kind of, you know, finally ready for that, you know, that real challenge. But he was already making sort of like, you know, SEC position coach type money as the strength coach at Alabama. So financially, he didn't have a lot of motivation to leave. I mean, this may really be a thing of, hey, he just wants advancement. You know, who could fault him for wanting to do that?
And by the way, it's funny you mentioned Lane Kiffin, too, that I thought it was interesting that Georgia, when they sent the release out about Cochran, put a quote from Lane Kiffin in the release. I don't know if that's trolling or not, or if that's a little jab, but it's still interesting that they used a Lane Kiffin quote.
Yeah, this may be one of those things where, like, the enemy of my enemy is my friend. You know,
yeah.
You know, Kiffin's no Georgia fan, but if Georgia's going to make Alabama worse here, Kiffin's going to kind of glom onto that. I thought that was funny as well. It was just kind of that was a very modern thing to see a current SEC coach complimenting the hire of one of the other league member schools, even if Georgia and Ole Miss don't play each other every season anymore. That was still pretty funny to see.
Yeah, for sure.
BA, yesterday on air, Dave and I both measured our hands, and we are qualified to have a radio show. Have you measured your hand to make sure you can still continue with Dog Nation Daily?
No, the only thing I've measured is my mouth, and it seems to be getting bigger and bigger every single year.
Yeah,
so
it does.
From that standpoint, I don't know what the wingspan of my hand is, but the span of my mouth is wider and wider and wider, and it seems to keep getting wider.
Yeah,
I think all that's just really, really funny. I mean, I understand why big hands help you throw a football, but like Joe Burrow has been dinged for this as well. I know Jake Fromm has been kind of, I guess criticized for his hand size. We've got, like, reams of video of Burrow throwing the
right
ball all over the yard. So, if his hand is small, it certainly didn't hurt him from throwing the ball against Georgia. I was excited to see that with my own eyes.
Well, I know the combine, you and I think alike. There's a lot of silliness to it when it comes to the measurements. But joking aside, the combine and the upcoming draft, which will be here very soon, seems like this year could be a pretty nice infomercial for Kirby Smart and this program. And maybe, just maybe, B.A., we can put aside some of that Kirby can't develop players mantra from opposing fans, because I think you're about to see a lot of that coming up these next month or two.
Yeah, I think that's right. I mean, I think that the the player development in Georgia, when you see the way that DeAndre Baker grew in the first round pick last year, and that's another example you're going to cite, I think that's kind of coming into form nicely. I mean, Georgia's still got some frontiers he's got to cross in that regard. You know, defensive line is an example of that, where over the course of the next few years, you need to see more defensive line guys drafted, especially if you want to keep pace with what programs like, and I hate to say it, but the truth is the truth, you know, like Alabama, Clemson, Ohio State, who've had great success with defensive line in the NFL draft. Georgia's got some work to do on that, but Andrew Thomas is going to help raise the reputation of Georgia from an offensive line standpoint. Solomon Tinley and Isaiah Wilson are trying to do the same. I don't know if Heifer said he thinks Wilson should have gone back to school, but hard to convince a young man of that sometimes when he's got a chance to make some NFL money. So, yeah, I mean, I think you're going to see a lot of Georgia names going to show up here prominently. In the next few years, you're going to see even more of that. And that's what you want to be. You want to be the kind of program that's kind of a quick pipeline to the NFL. You show up, you develop, you get bigger, you get better, and then a couple years after that, you're on your way to getting paid. And that just makes it easy to kind of keep that pipeline of talent coming into Athens. And I think that Smart can feel pretty good about what he's accomplished in that regard in his first few years here at Georgia.
Great stuff as always, B.A. We appreciate it. Have a great day, and we'll be listening for you later on.
Yeah, thanks, guys. It's always a pleasure to be with you all.
All right.
Thanks, B.A.
Brandon Adams, the host of Dog Nation Daily. Noon to 1 right here on The Ref.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.